invite you to join with me as we look in the New Testament book of Ephesians. As we go there, no doubt you've read it many times. You've heard sermons on it. There'll be nothing new here. And so you're probably thinking, well, if there's nothing new, why am I here? What am I going to listen to? You know, sometimes we need to hear things that we've heard before simply because we forget. And if you think about Scripture, God knows us, and He knows that we do forget. And that's why Scripture repeats the same thing, but often in different ways. And it's throughout Scripture then that God reminds us, not just of who we are, but even more importantly, who He is and who we are with Him. You know, He doesn't need us. He's the Creator, but He doesn't need to create. And that's something that we really have to get into our minds is He doesn't need us. So why then? Why would He create? You know, it's important to know that it's His nature to bless, to show good. And so therefore, He's created us to show who He is, how good He is. And this morning in today's text, hopefully we'll see how good He is to you if you're in Christ. You know, it's easy to forget that. It's easy to forget just what we have in Jesus Christ. Kids, do you understand what that means to have something in Jesus Christ? You know, this in idea, you know, you understand in is to be in something. What does it mean to be in Jesus? What does that mean? Well, it means to be in a saving relationship with Him. It means to have Him as your God and as your Savior, as the one who will judge all things, and yet the one who has taken your judgment if your faith is in Him and Him only. So that means you are in a relationship with Him, a relationship of love, His love for you as He develops you to grow in love for Him. That's what it means to be in Christ, to have that saving relationship. It's called a covenantal relationship. But it's a saving relationship that He has with us. And again, you know, did He need it? No. But He's chosen to have it with you, believer, with me, with us, with His people, the church. And so if you don't remember anything else I say, and hopefully I don't take too long to say it, although Mike knows that I can do that pretty easily. But nevertheless, if you remember nothing else, remember this. If you're in Christ this morning, you are in blessing with God. You know what that means? That means He loves you, that He looks on you with favor. When He looks on you, He doesn't frown. He doesn't think, what can I do to them because of what they've done to me? But instead, He looks on you because He looks through you at Christ, and therefore He loves you. And that's what we're going to see this morning, a picture of God's love for those who are in Christ this morning. So join me as we take a look at Ephesians. The text this morning is verses 3 through 14. I'll start with verse 1, however. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved One, in whom we have redemption through His blood, which is the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished, which he poured out on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, with a view to a dispensation of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, having been predestined to it according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, such that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory, in whom also you, having heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were marked by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as the guarantee of our inheritance, as he looks to the redemption of his possession, to the praise of his glory. Thus far, the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Let's pray. Father, as we take a look at your word, so familiar to us, perhaps too familiar at times that we can read through it, gloss over it, and not really come away with anything. Father, we pray this morning that you might show your mercy upon us as we take a look at your word, and that you might open it once again to our eyes, that we might hear it afresh, and that you might, Holy Spirit, apply it to us, that we would leave not the same, but instead we would leave praising you, understanding perhaps in a little bit more and glorious way of your love towards us, and that in that way then, encourage us, inspire us, cause us to desire to love you even more, to serve you and in thankfulness and in joy, and then to go about this world not in fear, not to be concerned with all the things that are going about, but to know that you have ordained all things and that you are working all things for your glory, for our good, and that it is our work then to let others know that this reality, that you, the God of all creation, are bringing things all according to your word to pass, that we look forward to that day when the fullness, the fruition of it will be when Jesus returns. And then our joy will be full, as even now it's in part. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the title of this text this morning that I was asked to give, and at the time I couldn't think of anything, so I said, predestined and only in Christ, which is true. But I'd like us to also think, as far as this text this morning, it's about blessings. The blessings of God to his people. And that's how the Apostle Paul is starting off his letter to the Ephesians, a church in which there were Jewish believers and the incoming flow of Gentile believers. And he's trying to remind both that they are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're probably thinking, well, so what? I've heard this before. But you know, back then it was radical. It was something new. Because for the early Christians, they would have had a Jewish background. They would have understood so much of the scriptures. And so what Paul would talk to them about would have been, oh yeah, I understand, I get it. But you know, what about the Gentiles, the non-Jewish Christians who were becoming more and more into the church, which we read in Isaiah about, you know, it wasn't just enough that the Lord Jesus would renew the church as it was in the Old Testament, but even more so, the tent pegs of the church would be expanded to include us, if you're not Jewish by nature, us, Gentiles, you know, non-Jews, who are the people of God in Christ as well. That's us, folks. That's our blessing. The blessing that was for Isaac and Jacob It's for us. And that's why when we read about the blessings, you know, of Jacob, it's our blessings. Because we are one in Christ as he was as well. So if you don't forget anything, if you don't remember anything, it's about blessings. You know, blessings, have you ever been and talked to someone and say, oh, I'm blessed to have this. Or we're blessed to have that. Or sometimes you might even use that yourself. What does that mean? Blessing. What do you think of when you think of blessing? It would be natural to think of earthly things, wouldn't it? Health, a house, or at least some place to live with a roof over your head that's not leaking too terribly bad, right? Perhaps a job, or children, or loved ones. You know, what are you thinking about when you think of blessing? Typically, we think of things of this time, of this age, of this world. But do you really think about true blessing? Because you see, the things of this world are passing away. Because this world's going away. And you know, everybody around you is saying, okay, let's conserve it. Let's preserve it. Let's worry about, you know, the temperatures and all this. And let's do things about it. And there's nothing wrong with that, for we are stewards of this world God has made. But you know, what we can do is start to forget what this world is. It's passing away. This world is really our opportunity to reflect Jesus, in this age. That's our job. You ever think of it? That's our calling. It's not just my calling, it's your calling. And so God has blessed us to do that. And so think about what blessing is. Yes, it can be things of this age, of this world. But what's a true blessing, kids? It's something that can't be taken away from you. You can get a blessing on your birthday, and 10 years later, will that blessing still be there? You know, for us that are, the term is longer in tooth, as you grow, you know, everything keeps, as you get older, things grow, and part of that is your teeth, supposedly, although you grind them away. But for many of us that are a little bit older, I don't think we can even remember our 10th birthday. And if we do, we might remember what we got, but we might not have it anymore. It's passed away. We've lost it. We've forgotten it. It's worn out. It's aged away. It was a blessing then, but do you still have it? Well, do you have the blessing that you can't lose? See, that's the most important thing, to have someone that you can never lose. Do you have Christ? For he is the blessing, the ultimate blessing that God can give to you. Do you have him as your Savior and Lord? Because that truly is the blessing that God can give to anyone. Is that your blessing this morning? Think about that. Because without him, then whatever blessing you might have now, you won't have at some point in the future. It must pass away. Everything in this world must pass away. And that's what God has reminded us over and over again. Well, as we look at this morning's text, I'd like us to think about things. And you would expect three things, so I'll give you three things. And they are these. Believer, if you're in Christ, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, and only in him, not Jesus and something else like what I can do for him, or Jesus and Buddha, or Jesus and something else, but instead Jesus, your hope is only in him to save you from the judgment to come. Believer, if you're in Christ, you have been chosen by God to himself. And he did it before he made you. Now you think about that for a minute. God so loved you that he'd already chosen you before he made you. That's how much he's on your mind. And you're going like, wow, the God that created everything would have me on his mind like that. And believer, remember this as well. You have been foreordained. Kids, what does foreordained mean? It means ordained beforehand. That's all. That's what predestination is, by the way. Something decided before it happened. We do that as well. If you're going to make something, you hopefully planned it first, and then you made it. Now, kids, as you grow older, you'll tend to do that more. But when you're younger, you tend to try to do things and then think about it later. Well, God is not foolish. He's foreordained everything that shall come to pass. He's predestined it. And believer, he's predestined you by God to be part of his family. And think about that for a minute. How are we by our nature? We are sinners. We are in rebellion. We are outside of his family. That's how we're born. That's our nature. And yet, what has God done even before he's created us? He's known what we would be. And he's ordained that he will bring us into his family. And for what purpose? That we might enjoy him now and forever. Imagine that. God planning that so that we can enjoy him as he enjoys us. That's an incredible thought if you think about it. And finally, believer, it's not just pie in the sky. It's not just for the future. But God is working out this reality, his love for you, his love for me, his love for his people who are in Christ. He's working that out now. It's a now reality. It's not just in the future, because it's easy for us to think about that, and it is coming. Jesus will return. But you see, God is working out his love for us, and all that he has planned for us, he's working it out now. It's a now thing as well as forevermore. And so I'd like us to think about those things as we take a look at the text. First, in verse 3, we read this. Just give me a moment here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has what? He's blessed us with every blessing. What kind of blessing, though? It's a spiritual blessing. Well, what is a spiritual blessing? You know, a lot of people, when they think of spiritual blessing, they think, well, that means I can't hold it, I can't buy it, I can't taste it, I can't smell it, so what good is it for me? But as I reminded us, all those things that we can taste, that we can smell, that we can hold, that's part of this world, those blessings, they're going away. They're going away. They're not meant to be forever. But the eternal blessing is to be in Christ. That is the spiritual blessing he's talking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in heaven with God, in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have all the blessings of God himself. His love for you, and that is the true blessing indeed. Have you thought about that? To be accepted by God. You know, it's kind of funny when you talk about social media. One of the big drivers in social media is acceptance, isn't it? Like me on this thing and like me in that thing. And if I do this, will they like me, or will there be such an outcry against me that'll destroy my company? Right? It's just like being in junior high again. Kids, if you're not in junior high, just stand by. But anyway, for those of us that have been there, you know what it's like in junior high. It's tough because everybody wants to be accepted, and there's always groups that say, I don't want to accept you. And you try so hard, right? And you worry about those things. But think of this, that God who has created all things, who keeps all things going for now, and who will renew all things when his son returns, that God has accepted you. He's accepted you despite the fact he knows you so well. Isn't that incredible? He knows you, knows our thoughts, knows what we've done, knows what we did yesterday, probably even this morning, even know the way we're going to be when we leave this place, and still has chosen to love us. That's the spiritual blessing we have. And we have it in Christ. We have it through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's important that we understand that in verse 3. We are blessed. We are blessed by God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's blessed us with everything. He's blessed us with his acceptance. And therefore, we can see and taste his love now as well as forevermore. So the Apostle Paul, though, he's not happy with just telling that, because now he's on a roll. You know, the chapter, verses 3 through 14, you know, when I studied it, and I'd studied it before, but I hadn't really thought about it. But you know, it's one long sentence. Verses 3 through 14 is one long sentence. You ever talked with people that can talk and talk one sentence and take 5 to 10 minutes to just keep going and keep going and keep going? That's the Apostle Paul here, and he does it in other parts of Ephesians as well as other books of the Bible. But why? Because when he talks about Jesus, he's overwhelmed thinking about who Jesus is, what he's done for him. Have you thought about it in that way before? Well, so what are these spiritual blessings then in the heavenlies, in heaven, in Christ? Well, first of all, he tells us that if you're in Christ this morning, you have been chosen by God to be in this position before he even made you, before he created anything, before God said, "Let there be light," and light came, and he created all things. Before that happened, God said, "You will be, and I will love you. In fact, I love you now, and then I will make you and show you what that love looks like." Have you thought of that? That's your reality, believer. It's our reality. Chosen by God to himself, like a precious thing. You know, kids, your parents love you and they like hold you, right? Especially when you're having a difficult time. But can you imagine God, the creator of all things, the mighty God, doing that? Well, he's done that, hasn't he, in Jesus Christ. You've been chosen by God for himself and to himself. You are his precious one. And he did this before he even created you. That's his thought towards you. And you know, as we look in verse 4, the Apostle Paul explains it. Just as he chose us for himself. That's what he's really saying. You know, in some translations it just says, just as he chose us in him. But the way the word is used here, and that's why grammar, later on you're going to learn English grammar as you grow up in school, and you're going like, I hate studying language. But it's so important because it helps us understand then what God is saying here. And it would be better translated, as I said it just not a moment ago, just as he has chosen us for himself. That's actually how the word should be understood. He has chosen us in Christ, yes. He has chosen us for himself in Christ. We're that precious to him. We who are born sinners against him, and yet precious, so precious, he would send his only begotten son to the cross for you and me. So it's more accurate to understand verse 4 just as he chose us for himself in him or in Christ. And when did he do it? Before he created anything, before the foundation of the world. And why, though? Why? To be with him in his kingdom. What does it take, kids, to be with God forever? You have to be perfect. You have to be perfect to be with the perfect God. You thought about, well, how's that going to happen? How can I be good enough to be with God? Well, he tells us right here that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Well, what does that mean? When he says that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he's saying that's going to happen through Jesus Christ saving you. By Jesus Christ taking the penalty for your sin. By Jesus Christ dying because of your sins. And even more so, by crediting, by giving to you the credit for his perfect life. Because you see, Jesus did live perfectly. You ever wonder why he had to live? Why didn't he just come, die, and go? Because he had to live. He had to live before the Father in a fallen world. He had to be tested, like we're always tested. But he had to be tested and to pass with flying colors. He did that so that if you trust in him this morning, all the credit, all the merit is the term, all the credit that he got for living a perfect life before God, perfectly, the way he thought, the way he said, the way he acted, everything perfect, what God expects of humans, he did. And he did it for you, believer, and for me. Such that when God looks at us, he sees the perfection of Christ in us. That's how God can stand to be with us forever. He doesn't see us as we are. He sees us in Christ, the perfect one, the God-man. That's an incredible thought. So, believer, you've been chosen by God for himself, to himself. And he did this before he created all things. He chose to have sinners, if you think about it, with him forever by making them righteous in Christ Jesus. Well, what else are we looking at this morning? That, believer, you have been foreordained, you have been predestined by God to be in his family. It was foreordained. It's been part of his plan. It's not plan B. It's always been plan A. To have you, believer, me, with him. To be children of God. Now, in and of ourselves, could you understand what that means? Just in our nature, the way we normally are, the way we're born, we are born as enemies of God. How's that happen? Well, you ever hear this word inheritance? It's something you get from somebody else. Kids, we inherit from our parents. What do we inherit from our parents? A nature. It's called a sin nature. It's a nature that says, I want to be in charge. I want to be my own God. I don't need any other God. That's called sin, folks. And we're all born with that kind of thinking. It's our nature. Knowing that, God is still predestined to take people like us to change that nature through the power of his Holy Spirit, such that born with a nature that says, I want to be in charge, I want to be my own God, to now what kind of a nature is it? I desire this God. I desire the true God. I want to serve him. I want to love him. And I know I don't do it well, but it's still my desire, and I'm asking you, Lord, to chisel away at me and to make me more a better reflection of my Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we call a changed nature. A nature that hated God, that has been turned to loving God. And you know, it's an amazing thing, kids. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it by pounding on us. But instead, he shows us his love, and he flows himself in us, and he changes us. So that what we wanted before, we no longer want. And what we hated before, we now want him because we love him. It's an amazing thing. He doesn't do any violence to our nature, but he does change it. That's the power of God, people of God. And we were predestined by God for him to make this happen in time and space. Predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to him. He has chosen to make us in Christ. And it's through the redemption, the work of Jesus Christ in his blood. God's goal for chosen sinners has been to bring them from children of wrath, which we are naturally born with, to becoming God's adopted children, accepted in the beloved one. I hope you kind of noticed it, because in the Greek, that's how you can understand it, and it's probably a better way of understanding it in translating it. We have been adopted in the beloved one, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's done for us. It's not plan B, remember. He's always intended that. Knowing what we are, he still intended to have us with him as his children, as loved children, beloved children. Kids, your parents can't love you as good as God can. They can't. They're limited. Now, they love you with all their heart. Don't get me wrong. They'll die for you. But they can't love you as much as Jesus does. If you trust in him, he loves you with an everlasting love. So much that he will go to the equivalent of hell for you so that you can go to heaven. Isn't that incredible? That's the love of God. That is the blessedness that God's people have. Just as your adoption was predetermined, believer, the way it's going to happen was also predetermined. That means Jesus had to come to die on the cross for you. And this was all planned before God created anything. Imagine that. So Jesus knew that when he created you, that when he's going to create things, he's going to have to come and take your sin on himself. He's going to have to suffer the wrath of the Father poured out on him and not held back, the equivalent of your hell on him for you. And he did it willingly. You know, the Father asked him to do it. They covenanted together. And we'll see that, Lord willing, next week. They covenanted together. The Father said, I will give you a people, but you're going to have to save them. And Jesus said, oh, I will. And he did in what we call this time and space. And he did it willingly, knowing how hard it was going to be. The horrors of having the Father turn from him and pour wrath on him for what we've done. He knew it, but he did it. And you know, it doesn't mean anything if you don't trust in him. And so it's not just that the Father said it's going to happen and Jesus makes it happen, but he applies it to us. You ever wonder? You know, many people know that Jesus died on the cross. They know a lot about that. But that's all they have is they know. But do they know it in what we call a saving way? Do they actually love him for it? Do they really trust him to have done it for them? How does that happen? It's the Holy Spirit who gives us that faith. That's applying the work of Christ to you and me, believer. It's the Holy Spirit that has changed our heart, that has caused us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God doing that, then we would be like the rest of the world. We would be Hindus. We would be Muslims. We would be atheists. We would be all kinds of stuff. But we would not be followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ if the Holy Spirit hadn't poured himself upon us and given us that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to escape the destruction that's coming. So, believer, understand this, that God is working out what he's ordained. He's making known to us, believers, what was previously hidden. You know, when you look through the Old Testament, Jesus is there. And Jesus says so as much as an example on the road to Emmaus, right? When he was talking to the disciples, and they're going like, wow, what's he saying? He's saying, I'm talking about me. The scriptures reveal the Lord Jesus. But you see, it's in what we call types and shadows. It's in dark sayings. It's not clear. And yet he was there. The Holy Spirit was telling us about Jesus in the Old Testament, but it was in dark sayings. It's what was called the mystery previously hidden. But that mystery that is now revealed is the Lord Jesus. He's the one that Scripture was pointing to. And we have that clear revelation of him now. And we will have a clearer one when he returns. And we are with him in the fullest way forever and ever. But God is now doing that. He's showing Jesus to the world. And he's bringing more and more people in through it. And at the same time, we're learning more about him as you study his word, as we have fellowship and we pray. It's to sum up everything in Christ, because after all, he made all things. You know, in Galatians, we read, or in Ephesians, the verses 22 and 23 of the same chapter, we'll read this. And he put all things in subjection under Christ's feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God is working out all things to grow his church. The church is growing. Every new believer means the church is growing. We are part of that growth. And God will continue to grow his church. And you know, it's important to think about. So there must be zillions of people that trust in Jesus. Well, there may be quite a few. But are they all right here and now? No. Because you see, the church is both the church militant, that's us in this fallen age. But there are believers who are resting now, aren't they, in Christ? They're not asleep, but they're with Christ now, and they're enjoying him in a way that we don't yet. That's the church triumphant. And it's the church militant and the church triumphant that God continues to grow. Because yes, until Jesus returns, we who are the church militant now will one day join the church triumphant, and it grows. But nevertheless, in Christ, in all things, he is growing his church, which is and who is his body. And in doing this, he provides you, believer, an inheritance, eternal life with God. And as you know, what is eternal life? Long days? Sure. Endless days? Sure. But eternal life is quality of life. We talk about that in this age. Oh, we should go ahead and kill this guy because he's not going to have a good quality of life. And you go like, who are you to tell what quality of life is? But what is eternal life? It's the real quality of life to live with our Creator, God himself, and have his smile upon us, to be accepted by him fully. That is real quality of life. And if you're in Jesus this morning, you have it now. It is yours. God loves you fully. He won't love you anymore. He can't grow that love anymore. Because he loves you in Christ now, as well as forevermore. You thought that through. We are accepted by God if our faith is in Christ. Is that your reality this morning? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? then you have the blessings, the eternal blessings of God right now. You do have right now true eternal quality of life. You have eternal life. And how do we play that out in this age then, in this life? Because you see, many of us might say, well, right now I don't have a very good quality of life. I've got a big debt, or I've lost somebody, or, you know, I'm just getting older. It's harder to live. I don't feel quality of life. Well, in this age, of course not. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Things of this age cannot inherit the eternal things of the age to come. That's true. But nevertheless, if you're in Christ this morning, you have true blessing. And that blessing you have was already ordained for you before you were made. And you want to understand it in this way. It shows God's love for you. It's important. Because the things in this world and our circumstances can cause us to question. Can it? Do you really love me, God? If you love me, then why this? Why did that happen? Why did this happen to this person? Why is this thing happening to me? It's easy to think that way. But when you're tempted to think those things, when you're tempted to let the circumstances of this world bombard you and overwhelm you, come back to this text. Come back. And think, hey, wait a minute. I trust in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I have God right now. I have His acceptance. I have His love. It's mine forevermore. And if you're not in Christ this morning, what holds you back? Look what God has for you. And you're going, well, I don't know if I'm predestined or not. Nobody does. So then what do you do? You don't sit there and speculate and go, well, if I'm really predestined, He'll do this anyway. No. Remember, He works things out by means. And what are the means by which people come to Christ? They hear the word. They pray to the God who made them and say, help me, Lord. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. If that's you this morning, if you're not trusting in Christ, I would call you to do that very thing. If you can't think of anything else to do, then pray to this Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. People of God, we have every blessing in the heavenly places. That means we have it now. And forevermore, we have a great future to look forward to, and we can enjoy it now because we have Him now. Think about that as we enter into the rest of this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the encouragement You give to us in Your word to remind us who we are in Christ, that we are Your children. We didn't used to be, but now we are. And that has been Your intent even before You made us. Lord, help us to really let that sink in our minds, Your love for us. And Father, if there are any here who are not trusting in You this morning, we pray that if they belong to You, that even this morning, You might help them to understand that. And that even this morning they might not leave without knowing who they are and who they can believe in, You, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.